When I started thinking about this, all I was thinking of is singing is all I could hear in my head was Tina Turner singing, "I Ain't Missing You."
You said that.
And there's a heart that's breaking down this long distance line tonight. I ain't missing you at all. Since you've been gone, away, I ain't missing you. I ain't missing you. No matter what I might say.
If you are enjoying the Laugh Out Loud podcast as much as we are enjoying creating it, then consider becoming a supporter. You can do so by going over to anchor.fm/laughoutloud/support. Your donation will help sustain future episodes, expand our platform, and reach our tribe. So come on, show your love. Again, that's anchor.fm/laughoutloud/support. Or just click the link in the description. We love you and thank you. We have been talking about menopause and all the crazy stuff that we go through and all the things that SD has taken away from us. And the changes that we end up making. And what I realized is we didn't really talk so much about the changes that go along with the menstrual cycle. No matter what my friends say, I ain't missing you. I'm not though. Y'all missing that? I told you the only person I know that missed that shit was that one client that I had. And I just had to say, okay.
that was the whole reason behind her visiting. There was no
requested
pathology.
No. You know, most people request bioidentical hormones or some type of hormone therapy because they're having some other issues that they want to kind of offset. That's not why she wanted it. She wanted me to bring her period back.
I could see somebody, not that I miss my period, nor did I ever want my period. Initially, I was thinking in my mind as a mental health practitioner, you know, maybe she could benefit from some visits with, you know, a therapist just on the grounds of like acceptance and accepting where her body is at this particular point in time. And I do think that there is a huge connection between my value in the birthing world and having a menstrual cycle. So if her idea was that she was, or even cleanliness, there's a lot of people that believe that your body does not cleanse itself if you don't have a menstrual cycle. So I could see all of those reasons being things that a person might not be ready to accept where their body is at. But I definitely think she could have benefited from maybe some counseling sessions around, you know, a greater understanding of where she is as a woman.
I agree with that. And mental changes also occur when we start to lose estrogen. And not just for that reason, but we need therapy for all kinds of things. So yeah, I think that, and I hope that that's something that she got. Because I saw her like after the fact, and I was wondering why the doctor sent her to me or put her on my schedule. I was like, she need more help than... that's outside of my scope of practice. But really, he needed a little more help in that area. And I guess she just thought that by her talking to me, that would be something that she needed. But it was more than just talking to me. Because there has to be something else that's deep-rooted there that she needed to get to.
Mm-hmm. You should not be surprised about how many people try to work out their mental health issues with their... medical practitioner.
I'm not surprised at all. Right, KB? That ain't a surprise.
It's not. But I mean, my initial response to something like that is education. Like, maybe she didn't realize what goes on in the body. Just like Patty, when you just mentioned, sometimes women would have the perception of not being clean, or if I don't have my period every month, that the blood just builds up in there and it's some issue. So my initial response is education. You know, maybe you don't understand how the female body works even at that age. So letting you know first and revisiting the question. But whenever I've encountered women that feel like, and these are childbearing age women, that will feel like, oh, well, I need to have my period or it's not clean, or I don't know what they think. The blood just stays. I don't know what they think, but you back up and you do some education. But I was always shocked to realize so much of the public felt like that. And it's just simple biology. Mm. So yeah, that would have been my first thing. And then, like you said, is there a connection with you as a woman? Has society put in our brains that, you know, once you can no longer bear children or you're reaching that point that you don't have the same value?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Education was not her issue, though. She was educated. She was well educated.
About her body? No,
I'm telling you. So, because she was able to, like, verbatim, like, just tell me what it was that, so, because you know me, I'm like, I have to stop and ask people why. So, why you think that? Why you want, what? Okay, well, tell me why. And it wasn't for lack of education, but there was another piece there that really, right. I'm thinking that she needed some other type of therapy.
Absolutely mental. You're right. Absolutely mental health.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't even be separated. We, even with our education, it's such a disconnect from mental health and physical health when they go so tandemly together. It's just, I don't know why it's so separated in the educational part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, Patty, you deal with that all the time.
Mm-hmm. I actually, when Tracy was doing Mini Monday, I was trying to wrap my mind around being a part of that, but I was so knee deep in my own change that I wasn't quite ready, you know?
Yeah.
But definitely now I can see there's so many topics that are easy to relate to at this point in my life.
So personally, I don't miss it. I don't miss a period at all. There's not a day that I can say I wake up like, damn, I wish I had to go buy some tampons. No, that's not happening. But it's so funny that we're talking about that. And my baby sister, oh, it's funny to say my baby sister, had to have a procedure in the GYN's office actually yesterday. And so the progression of it, well, actually, so let me just tell you the story because it's so funny. She had to have a biopsy, a uterine biopsy. So, you know, they don't put you to sleep or anything for that. And it's not fun at all. Probably one of the most painful things I've had done. So she's like, okay, is it going to hurt? I'm like, well, yeah, it's uncomfortable. It won't be that bad, you know, but you have to do that because they can't take another step until they get the sample. When she called me yesterday, she was like, I was in there and I told my husband, my sister ain't never lied to me. She said, but she lied about that. And I couldn't do that but laugh. I was like, well, yeah, it hurts. I said, if I'd have told you that, you wouldn't have went.
She wouldn't have went.
She
did not have.
So she was just so upset, like, oh my God, I can't believe you lied to me.
I want to kick your ass.
So now she like thinking she about half dead. I'm like, girl, you'll be all right by tomorrow. It's fine. She's like, no, I'm not. I gotta get in the bed. I said, okay.
Girl, but that is no joke. I have been on sides of a biopsy.
And oh my goodness.
And, you know, telling people like what you think and then actually having to go through it yourself. I had to have one when I had the ablation done prior to. And I just remember that I started talking like really, really fast and going like 100 miles because I was like, oh my God, I have to do something to distract myself from this pain. And I had done all the preliminary stuff, you know, taking the ibuprofen, the half hour,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, all the things that I tell patients to do. The only thing that I said, okay, Lord, now I can really tell people what to expect. And I will have your Toradol ready after I do that procedure for you.
Right. Wait, so I was I actually had it done also. And the doctor that we go, because we used the same doctor, didn't we both?
Yes.
And so I'm like, and you know, I'm like, you know how they have the, how many phases of grief is it, Patty? You go through the phases of grief. So I was in a bargain, like I was bargaining. I was on the table like, okay, so if you give me some medicine now, will I be okay? I'm like, but you're so quick. By the time I get to working, you'll be done. And she was like, yeah, I'll be done. And so I'm like, wait, wait, okay. So I'm sitting there trying to just think of anything. It was terrible. Trying to think of anything, but in my mind, I'm like, okay, I know the medicine won't work fast enough. It'll be over. But when I tell you, tears rolled down my eyes during that procedure, it was no joke. And I said, only a man would come up with something like that. Who does that to you?
Somebody who don't know. Somebody that don't know what it feels like.
Exactly. Don't know. Just horrible. Exactly. I said, so what reason why we can't be sedated?
Right.
It's terrible.
Ooh.
So, yeah. But
is it because we were relaxed down there so much that they wouldn't be able to do what they needed to do, or no?
It's just so fast. It's just so fast. And then you
it's
have
really
to wait.
Less than 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's really fast. And you have to weigh the option of like actually putting that medication in your system. Like by the time it starts to work and do all that, and you can have issues from being sedated, it could just be done. Which I get the part, but
you could have cramping afterwards, which I did. And so she was quick with it too. I said, I had to apologize because I was talking so fast. I was like, ooh, I'm sorry. I was just trying to get through it. She said, girl, I know you want some Toradol. I was like, yep, thank you. Just give it
to me. Yeah, I got a shot of Toradol too. I was thankful for
and
that.
I have a high pain tolerance, by the way. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know my pain tolerance.
I didn't even know that I was in pain until I went to the doctor one time. I actually went to the ER because I was feeling like I couldn't breathe. And he gave me Toradol. And I don't remember, I think because I said I was in pain somewhere in my chest or something, and he gave me Toradol, and I left out of the hospital feeling so happy and free. I was like, I must be in more pain than I know. You know what I mean? In my body. Kind of crazy.
We adapt to it, though. We adapt. And
get used to walking around with all that tension.
Yeah.
And I wonder why my forehead be all scrunched up.
Why I got this scrunchy piece right here? Why? So anyway, I was thinking about this because I was in the car with mommy, and I know she started listening to the podcast because she turned to me and she said, so did I go through menopause? And I just laughed and I said, yeah, well, you did, but the only problem that she really had was the bleeding issue as well. So her bleeding actually increased, was all over the place. It's pretty much like same situation as mine. And I said, well, I want to talk about that for other women. Because like you said, we think that having a menstrual period is, you know, something that we just want to have for life and that it'll be something that's regular. But actually, irregularities can start to happen when you're premenopausal.
I'm pretty sure that occurred with me with the premenopausal irregularities. Like my period was like here a couple of days, then the next time it would be ridiculous. And I've had that.
And it also can sometimes be confused with fibroids. And that's another thing I know, KB, that's near and dear to your heart that you want to actually have a conversation about. So I do want us to start talking about that, but people can confuse the two. Like, is it a fibroid? Because a fibroid can cause chaos within the menstrual cycle as well.
We do have to do an entire cast on fibroids. It affects Black women unproportionately. And we don't know that until you're in the middle of it, because we don't talk about those things. So you might get, when we talked about, you know, when the young girl starts having her cycle and the kind of things we do, but what to expect when you're getting closer to menopause and things, we don't have those conversations. The thing about fibroids, they appear within us so much more than other ethnicities. And I was explaining that to my sister yesterday too, when I was looking at her report from her ultrasounds and things like that. And it's just like, you'll be fine, no fibroids, anything. You take that one test or something, or ultrasound, it's like, oh, you got fibroids. Like, that's a normal part of life. And that's a problem. And so she's like, okay, so what do I have to do so my daughter doesn't go through this? And so I had to think about it. I said, you know what? Being a Black woman, period. She's already born predisposed to that. I said, but we have to go back to our diet and our exercise at a young age and making it a lifelong habit. Because these are the things we run into as we age. And so it can't hurt it. And it absolutely has a lot to do with you being active and the things that you put in your body and how it responds as it ages. Mm-hmm. So at 12, 13, you should be already trying to have a habit, those kind of good habits. The one thing I learned the one time, and I don't know if I mentioned this, was in school, we learned that, and how was that? The foundation of your bones are already put together by the time you start to have a period. So yeah. We're not giving girls this extra calcium. We're not having them be active and things like that. Their foundation is already done. So by the time they start their cycle, I don't care if that's 11 years old, 12 years old, the kind of bone density you're going to have is already set up.
Yes.
Which means school-age girls should already have some type of activity in place. We should be watching their calcium and things like that, because by the time you are menopausal, perimenopausal, you will have these issues with not enough calcium and having bone density that's off.
Yeah.
And that was surprising to me, because by the time you think about it, you know, by the time you're 18, 19, 20, pretty much it's too late. It's done. Your foundation is done. Mm. And that was a big thing that surprised me. So now all the little girls in the family, I'm always like, okay, we have to make sure that you're eating and getting the calcium you need, and you need to be moving. You need to be moving.
Good. And you had said, you used the word normal, and I just wanted to comment on that, because I think we confuse frequency of occurrence with normalcy. Just because it occurs frequently does not make it normal. It's not a normal thing. If you are enjoying the Laugh Out Loud podcast as much as we are enjoying creating it, then consider becoming a supporter. You can do so by going over to anchor.fm/laughoutloud/support. Your donation will help sustain future episodes, expand our platform, and reach our tribe. So come on, show your love. Again, that's anchor.fm/laughoutloud/support. Or just click the link in the description. We love you and thank you. You used the word normal, and I just wanted to comment on that, because I think we confuse frequency of occurrence with normalcy. Just because it occurs frequently does not make it normal. It's not a normal thing. So you're right. I agree with you wholeheartedly that we do have to go back and make some changes to our diet. And there are also other things out there that we can do naturally to try to kind of offset some of the effects of fibroids and even decrease them. And we'll talk about that when we have the fibroid talk. It doesn't always come down to a medical thing.
Right.
A lot of times it really is based in some things that you actually already have control over.
I agree. But when you don't know, you don't know. So I think that would be really enlightening to offer some of that information.
Yeah. Patty, what were you going to say?
No, I was just so... I do have fibroids, but they're very small. Do you remember, Trey, when, and I just now remember this, like when I first got diagnosed with menopause, every other month I felt like something was wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And do you remember that I went and had the full uterine ultrasound, like internally?
Right.
And so I haven't had like a big issue with fibroids, but I have a lot of friends who do. And I'm surprised because I'm vitamin D deficient, which is one of the factors. So I think that I've not personally experienced it, but the people that I know that have had them, like that enlarged, the belly being enlarged and then the uncomfortableness around the cycle, like I just couldn't imagine, you know. And I think it's important, like Karima is saying, is to know like, okay, if vitamin D deficiency is an issue, then how do I make sure I have enough vitamin D? One of the things that I found out recently, and I don't know if it was you that told me, Tracy, or some other healthcare provider, is that we just now started testing people to see if they were vitamin D deficient, which is crazy to me because it's an indicator of lupus, it's an indicator of fibroids, it's, you know, you can be more at risk to get cancer if you are vitamin D deficient. So I don't know. I don't even know why I said all that.
Well, that's okay. See, and here, wait, I gotta toot our horn, KB. So as a women's health nurse practitioner, yes, you come see me for your reproductive needs, but I always have ordered vitamin D. I always have ordered a CBC. We want to know what your white cells look like. We want to know what your hemoglobin, your hematocrit, all of those different things. So that's something that has kind of always been normal for me, and I know other women's health right. practitioners in our practice. That's just something.
So then what that would mean to me, what that would say to me is that my vitamin D level must have dropped relatively quickly, because it would have been something that you noticed, and I know that I've seen you and, you know, before, you know what I mean, and enough time for that to be brought to the surface.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah. And because of the area of the country we're in, or we are from, our vitamin D is probably naturally low because we don't get enough sunlight, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
KB, what you gonna say? I know you looking like you got some.
She was coffee. Cracking up when I said, I don't know why I said all that.
Yeah, that was funny. That was funny. That's just what was on your mind and that's what came out. But it makes a lot of sense. The one thing that I always would tell even my patients, just like what you just mentioned, Tracy, where we live, like I'm in Northeastern Ohio, we get no sun. I don't care if it's summertime, like we really don't get enough sunlight. Mm-hmm. And so most of us are probably walking around with a vitamin D deficiency. So as a caregiver, that's something that they should really be looking for, or we should really be looking for, because it's just the nature of where we are, which makes a lot of sense. But that's something that can change, and is not hard to, shouldn't be hard to manage unless you have some other pathology that's going on. So that's a fix, a quick fix.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily quick, but it's something that can be fixed and something that you should be conscious of. Absolutely. So, yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Let me see if I got any other notes that I want to make.
Oh, wait. Let me tell you real quick. But people that say, that reminds me of patients that'll say, oh, I'm anemic. And so I have to explain, well, just because you were anemic 5 years ago does not mean you're still anemic. Although people do have chronic anemia.
Mm-hmm.
But depending on what's going on and what's causing it, you may be okay. So it's always the opportunity to educate when I have someone say, oh, well, I'm anemic, so I'm always cold. But your blood work is okay right now. So you're not anemic right now. That is right. That's the state that you were in and what was going on. So getting closer to menopause and perimenopause, when I started to have a lot of the fluctuations in the heaviness of my cycle too, I stayed anemic. And so the doctor explained to me, it was like a bucket with a hole in it. So no matter what was going on, if you're bleeding that heavily, yes, you won't hold the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's something that'll happen then. But I try to tell people that just because you were anemic and just like the vitamin D deficiency, 6 years ago does not mean that's the same thing that you may see today.
Very true.
That always cracks me up, though. I'm like, oh, well, yeah. Okay.
Ooh. Oh, shoot. What was I going to say? Yeah, I need a little bit of Esty right now. I don't know. I can't think.
Girl, there you go. She ain't no joke. Like, she rules everything. She like, look, she like Cass. She rules everything around me.
Esty rules everything around me.
Right. You just like, oh, it's too low, you don't feel good. Oh, it's too high, you don't feel good. You're right.
Oh, my goodness. But I guess all I really want to say to people is, during this time, your menstrual cycles can be so unpredictable. So if you're unsure as to whether or not you're in that state, or if you're having these irregularities, especially like heavy bleeding, clotting, menstrual periods where there shouldn't be a menstrual period, you know, if the frequency increases, any of those things, those are important for you to go and get yourself checked out. So,
and the other thing is, if you have truly gone through menopause, which is 12 consecutive months without any bleeding, once you've gone through that, any amount of bleeding is abnormal. Absolutely. So you don't want to think that, okay, I've gone through menopause, and you've truly gone through menopause, because that's a whole nother discussion that sometimes we don't realize. But after the 12 consecutive months and 18 months later, you have some spotting, that's enough to get to see who you need to see, because that's totally abnormal. Right. So that's something that's real important I want to put out there. No amount of bleeding is okay once you've gone through true menopause.
Exactly. Thank you for that. Yep. All right. Anything else? So, Minnie, we ain't missing you, Minnie. Sorry. We missed Esty a little bit, but we ain't missing Minnie.
Oh, my gosh.
And if y'all have to go hand to hand, we just gonna have to deal with y'all without y'all.
Right. I'm sure some women might be, but I'm definitely not. It's so freeing. It's so freeing. Like, you don't have to carry around the stuff you need to carry around, carrying around clean underwear, carrying around tampons, pads, just cleaning stuff, smelling stuff. Talking
about, you got some pads and tampons? No. I don't care. <your pants. laughs> It's BYOS over here. Bring your own shit. I ain't got that.
I don't have to carry a purse. Me. I don't need to.
Really, to walk down that aisle and not have to spend that $9.99 on a fucking box of tampons.
Oh my God.
Get all three types in one box.
Having the cramping and the severe pain and stuff that can come along with it.
Woo. And then somebody asks you at work, what's wrong with you?
Now, see, they can get it. They can get it. Just leave me alone. But, what was the craziest thing was, like, you were mentioning going down that aisle, Patty, but you never wanted to buy them until you need them. It's like, you're going to always need them. And it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to buy it. I don't want to buy it. I don't want to buy it, but when it's time, I'll buy it. And I just never understood that. It's like, even a baby with Pampers, you can never have too many. Just go and buy damn Pampers, they don't sell. Just buy them. And I would never do that. I mean, even though I bought them in bulk, I never wanted to buy them, like, until they ran out or it got close to running out or something.
Right.
Dumbest thoughts. Dumbest
thoughts. Fun thing that you equate. It's not something that you equate fun to. It's like, ooh, let me get extra of that.
Be like, yeah, no. No.
Oh, y'all are funny. Oh, my goodness.
This shit is funny.
Thank you.
missing you. No matter what my friends say. Man, I have not been able to get that song out of my head since I started working on this episode. But that's neither here nor there. As a reminder, this is the beginning of week two of my birthday sleigh challenge. So if you haven't started this challenge, by all means, know that it is not too late. Get in where you fit in, jump in now, and let's just do it. To me, your year begins whenever you say your year begins. So for me, my year begins July 1st. I celebrate the whole month of July for myself, who I am. I look back to where I've been and I determine where I'm going, and I kind of come up with a theme for the year. So that's what we did on that episode. Go take a listen to it and then join us. This year's theme is rebirth. Is there something in your life that you are not happy with, that you are just ready to move on from? If so, it's time for your rebirth. If this whole pandemic and all the other chaotic things going on in the world have affected you in any way, shape, or form, it's time for you to get a vision for your life, and it's time for you to consider whether or not you need, that's right, a rebirth. I'm telling you. Now, as we're looking and thinking about rebirth, we first got to come up with a vision, because otherwise you have nothing to birth, right? So my question to you is, do you have a vision? Do you have a vision for your life? If not, it's okay. That's what we're doing. That's what we're working towards. If you do, it's time to dust that puppy off, polish it up, and let's birth it. There are multiple ways to show your love for the Laugh Out Loud podcast. Subscribe if you haven't already done so. Make sure you're sharing this. We want to talk to the women of the world who are on this journey with us. You know, we want to laugh. We want to slay with them too. So make sure you share it. And also rate the podcast. We need your finger snaps. We need your claps. We need your love. Oh, are you a laugher yet? Have you signed up to become a laugher yet? If not, the website is live. Go on over. Check us out at laughwithus.com. That's laughwithus.com. Everything you need is there. Show your love and support by making a donation to help us support our platforms and ongoing episodes. You can listen to the podcast over there and just take a look at who we are. You know, get to know us a little bit better and become a laugher, because we always laughing about something.
I'm a laugher. You're a laugher. She's a laugher. You're a laugher. Wouldn't you want to be a laugher too?
Yeah, Patty, I'm sorry I had to throw that in there. It was cute when you did it. So people will love it. Y'all love it, right? Show Patty some love. Let her know that you love her craziness just as much as we do. All right, y'all. So that's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining us today. Until next time, we will be missing you. But remember, this is your life. So live it out loud and on purpose. From the ladies here at the Laugh Out Loud podcast, much love to you now and always. Keep laughing. Mwah.